Today is Saturday, May 10th, 2025, and we are at 105 Glosson Circle, and this is Christine Abernathy.
Nadia Clifton is here as well.
And Pat Jackson is here to get an opportunity to talk with Miss Paula Britton, who you'll have an opportunity to meet in just a few minutes, but I wanted to make sure that you fully understood how special this interview for us here at 105 Glosson Circle today is. We are privileged to be able to talk to one of the long-term residents here of Glosson Circle, but most importantly, we're blessed to be able to parlay right into someone that's so special to Miss Paula that gives us an opportunity to add to our builder's gateway. Her dad, which I know from a young child, has experience, but we want to right now move into having it being told by our guests right here today, Miss Paula Rigsby Britton. So we're going to turn it over to Miss Paula to introduce herself to us. And the first question that we want to know is, who is Paula Rigsby Britton?
Okay, I'm Paula Rigsby Britton from Chapel Hill. My dad was a big contractor, Chapel Hill, half of the building, apartments, houses, and everything he built with other men that he worked with. He also worked for the university way before WASA was even thought of. The university used to own the water company, and Owasso brought the water company out, and that's when they moved here because it was part of the university. So a lot of the men that my dad worked with who's still living, as a matter of fact, I had a water issue with my house, and I met two men that my dad worked very close with, and they talked about how they was the original people that ran the water. And also not only the water, they kind of controlled the bad weather, snow and everything. They would clean the university, hospital, and everything. So it's a lot of history, you know. And I brought this house in 85, over 40 years ago, and we still own the house. And my husband passed away, and he wanted to make sure that my kids and my grandkids would keep the house. Regardless, he's like, I don't care what you do with the house in Georgia, but keep the house in Chapel Hill because it's special. And of course, Miss Pat, her mom used to be out. She always, whenever she saw my car, my Georgia car, she always brought us food. She'd be like, y'all home and y'all working so hard. Never had a problem. She would bring us plates and we eat, and she'd be like, oh, y'all just work so hard. You know, because she was the best neighbor ever. She walked the street up until she couldn't walk anymore. So she was always up and down the street checking on everybody. So it's a lot of history here. It goes way back. And of course, Lily, who's no longer here, she's moved to Georgia. She was another neighbor that's been here forever and a day. She raised her girls here. And I think Joanne died at 35 with breast cancer. But she has a daughter that lives in Georgia, Donna, who's I guess would be about 55. And so she's got her house for sale and she's living with Donna. And then there's Ann, who had one daughter. And I don't know. Then there's the I mean, it's just a lot of history here, you know. And a lot of people have died out or sold out. And I think it's sad. I think it's really sad because we don't have anything anymore, you know? So I was like, you know what? They're not taking my house, okay? If I had to live in a tent, if they, I'll do what I got to do. But that's about it. So go ahead, Christina. You want to ask me anything?
Yeah, well, you're talking about, you talked about kind of the history of, I really did, I specifically talk about the history of access to utilities. And, like, you even mentioned, like, what happens when it snows and kind of these things. So could you, from your memory, how did the community that you grew up in handle that? You know, did y'all, do you remember always having access to water, sewer, electricity, and how did the community navigate those resources?
Well, that's kind of hard to say because, you know, we are in the city of Carrboro, and I didn't have a problem because my dad would pick me up and take me to work or whatever. Now, and he was the type of person that, like, Lily, who worked at the hospital, my sister Shella, and anybody else that worked at the hospital, he would take them all to work when the weather was bad. And then he would go and clean the university off the snow and stuff. So I never had an issue with that. Now, I can only speak for myself. And also my husband, Larry, he would take him to work too because at the time he's working for the hospital too. But no, I mean, the only thing I can say is that was a long time ago. The buses was not free. Did we even have buses, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have no Pat buses. So it just depends on exactly what you're saying. Because it goes way back. My kids grew up here. My son was, what, 5? My daughter was 8 mm-hmm. when we moved here in Carrboro. Mm-hmm. So... I don't know. I was talking to my daughter today, and she has a problem, and she's talking about getting a lawyer because she doesn't think anything should change. And so she's already been on the internet blowing up my phone saying, well, look, I got 3 lawyers I need you to talk to.
About
Owosso.
About Owosso taking
mm-hmm,
the land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's really not happy about that at all. Mm-hmm. And I agree with her. I mean, you know, because what's going to happen is they're going to keep, I mean, just think about this. We are right, Owosso over here, the cemetery over here. Where are we going? Mm-hmm. They're going to try to take what we got. Mm-hmm. And then you got Davy Road. You got Burke Street where your mom is at. I mean, you know, and... when I was riding today with my aunt and I was looking around, it's so many apartments, townhouses. Owosso ain't got nowhere to go. And eventually, they're going to have another water plant because that one's not going to last long with all the apartments and everything. I know my water bill is sky high every month, and Tyson lives there by himself. So I can't imagine what other people pay. You know, and he's gone half of the time. You know, he's either working or he's traveling. And why am I paying like $70 a month for water? Mm-hmm. And it's just only him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everything is totally out of control, you know? Mm-hmm. So I got a lot of issues, you know, because I just think that they're just milking us to no end, you know, and looking at the my tax assessment I just got, come on now, 52%? You telling me you want me to get the hell out, but I ain't going nowhere. It's going to take a lot to push me out. But, I mean, stuff like that, it's crazy.
And I appreciate you kind of sharing the perspective of being willing to fight.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, part of this, struggle that the community is engaged in with Owosso, we've been reminded to keep our knowledge of the community's history at the center
mm-hmm.
and to lead with that. And I was hoping to get some of your help on that because I'm not familiar with the history.
Okay.
So I actually was curious if y'all remember, Miss Paula, do you remember like kind of when this neighborhood started? And I was also trying to remember, like, is, I know that this part is historically Black, like Alabama, Neville, Burke,
mm-hmm.
Colson.
Mm-hmm.
Colson is historically Black.
Mm-hmm.
What about like going up on Fidelity? Was any of Fidelity, because I know Miss Tish owns that building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we used to vote up there mm-hmm. off of Fidelity Court. That was our voting site that Owasa has now too. So if you go on up and you pass the cemetery, there's a dirt road. If you go down that road, there's an old house, right, Chi?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we used to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But my understanding, Owasa got that now, too.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm curious, like, rooting into the history of this community means rooting into the history of the people that are here. And I'm curious, one of the things that we've been asking folks is, what is the ancestor or family member, like the oldest ancestor that you can remember in your family?
In my family?
Yeah.
I guess it would be my dad.
Mm-hmm. And so, how would you describe your dad?
He's a busybody.
What did you say?
He's a busybody.
Oh.
he died at 90. But up until he was about 80,
what was your dad's name?
Paul, I was named after him.
Oh.
he was a good man. And he worked all over Chapel Hill, so he knew everybody. I don't know. All I can say, he was always riding up and down the street talking to people. People he didn't even know, he'd be waving at. I'd be like, Dad, who is that? I don't know. I'm just waving. You know, that's kind of the way they were back in the day. Even Miss Kilmer, they spoke to everybody. They had no enemies. I mean, everybody was their friend. They was always giving. And that's the way this neighborhood's always been like. You know, we knew everybody, you know. It was just different, you know. And I don't care if you need your grass cut or you needed some food. Somebody was always there to give you what you needed. And that's just the way, I mean, that's the way we grew up, you know? And of course, Chi and I, or Pat and I, are somewhat related because her aunt was married to my brother-in-law. So we go way, way back. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, you know, we was all family. Mm-hmm. We all stuck together. We had to do what we had to do and make it happen, mm-hmm. you know. And especially, you know, on Sundays, everybody had some food, you know. Everybody had food. Either somebody was baking or frying chicken or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, we was just one big happy family.
Do you remember any of the other kinds of food that y'all would have? You mentioned fried chicken.
Oh, we had everything. Meatloaf, pork chops, you name it. I mean, everything, you know. Somebody always had something different, you know. I know my mom used to always like to cook meatloaves. And Miss Kuma always had some fried chicken. So it just, you know, it was just like we was a big neighborhood. And there was Mary Hubbard, who's dead now, and her and my mom used to be good friends. And I mean, it was just so different, so different, you know. And who else, Patricia?
You talked a little bit earlier about your dad,
mm-hmm.
and being a builder.
Mm-hmm.
What's your the oldest memory of you, your mom and dad in the part of town that you grew up in?
Okay.
Before you became a homeowner here on Glosson Circle. Tell us a little bit about that.
Mert Mill Road.
Yes.
Mert Mill Road. That's why I grew up on Mert Mill Road. And I mean, That's what, and then from there.
But tell us a little bit about you
Merritt Mill Road.
The dynamics of you and your family. I know that you have two sisters?
Three
sisters, one brother.
Mm-hmm. Actually, two brothers.
Okay. Three sisters, two brothers, mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit
about Merritt Mill Road.
Merritt Mill Road and your family growing up there, because that can, as to what I can remember, your mom was a fabulous community person.
She
We'd
was.
Like to hear a little bit about mom and dad and how they.
Well, growing up on Merritt Mill Road, it was like, of course, we lived in a big rock house, and there was a lot of neighbors, but my dad would always take black men that came out of prison and put them to work. And back then, it was a lot of crime. Not like it is now, but, you know, not a lot, but we had a lot of people that lived on the other streets, on the other side of Merritt Mill Road, which was like Tootie Edwards and his brothers, and God, there were so many of them. And they always was in and out of jail. So every time they came out of jail, they would come to my dad and ask him for a job. They'd like, Mr. Paul, I need to get some money. Can I go to work today? And he'd be like, yeah, but you know I'm not going to pay you till Friday. He said, so if you don't show up the whole week, I ain't giving you nothing. So that was the way. And then my mom was really a community person. I mean, all my holes and all my sister earrings and everything, my mom pierced all our ears, the whole neighborhood. Because she was just the kind of person she was. And she cooked every Sunday. Well, my mom cooked every day, but she on Sundays was her special day. And she always knew that somebody in the neighborhood was going to come looking for some food. So she was always there like, come on in, what you want to eat? And that's just where she was. So that was growing up on Merritt Mill Road. Of course, we had a lot of good neighbors, some good, some bad. But at the end of the day, it was a big community, you know? And so it used to tickle me to death because my dad was always so funny because he always would wait till Friday after 5 o'clock to pay his help. So being that all my sisters except for me went in I went in accounting field because my mom kept telling me that my dad needed somebody to take care of his business. So that's how I got into accounting to help him out. Of course, we went back and forth. My sisters were so sweet. They say I was the mean one because me and my dad always fussed all the time. It was because I'd be like, you're not going to do that. And he'd be like, you can't tell me what to do with my money. I said, okay, well, just give me your credit card. So I used to buy a lot of stuff for him on his credit card because he would do like Estes Park, was one of his projects. The apartments, I guess the townhouses next door, he built those. So he would send me to Lowe's and stuff because I love flowers, to pick out flowers for them to, you know, decorate the front. Man, I was wearing that credit card out. You know, he'd be like, how much money did you spend? I said, not much. But, I mean, that's the kind of, you know, he was that kind of person. And growing up on Merritt Mill Road, he always kept all his equipment behind the house. And so he built us, we call it a dollhouse, but it was a real house. It was too big to be a dollhouse. And, I mean, he was just that kind of person. He would take his time when he didn't have nothing else to do and just do things with his hands. He was very good with his hands. And he loved building stuff. So
the building that your dad did, was it out of lumber, rock? What was the building material that was his specialty?
I think, I don't know. Maybe he used everything.
Okay.
So it's kind of hard to say it was wood or rock. Because, I mean, it was everything.
Did he build projects from scratch to finish?
Yes.
Or did he repair?
Mm-mm.
So
he started from the beginning. Exactly.
From the ground up.
Up. If you look at my sister's house, the one out on Old School Road,
uh-huh.
he built a house from the top to the bottom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And they also have a, they call it, what do they call it? It's not a storage house. It's too big to be a storage house. But it's where they store all their extra clothes. And it's just, he built that too. So he built a lot of stuff, you know. Now, he even built Beach's house, my other sister's house,
okay.
who lives out there, Hatch Road.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But because me and him couldn't get along, he didn't build my house.
You say that you and your dad couldn't get along, but you're named from your dad.
I know.
How did that come about?
Well, you
what
really...
What did your mom say?
Okay,
that.
My mom wanted to name all us Paul something. And so my oldest brother was actually my uncle,
okay.
William. And then Paul, my brother, the third.
Okay,
then that's Shella.
Okay.
Then that was me.
Okay.
So she said she ran out of names because he kept saying he want Paulette, Paulina, Paul something. Everything was supposed to be Paul something. And so I end up getting stuck with Paula.
Okay. In the dynamics of your family, where do you fit? Are you the youngest daughter, the middle daughter?
The middle daughter.
You're the middle daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And you have one sister that's younger than
Sharon,
you.
Sharon. Uh-huh.
Sharon.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Sharon.
Awesome.
But yeah, she was like, no. You can only have one Paula. Mm-hmm. And nobody's ever got my name right. They call me Paulina, Paulette, everything but Paula. I said, how hard is that? You know? And growing up, it used to be so funny. It would be myself, my dad, and my brother. And my mom could be calling, say, my dad. And we all would answer because it sounds so much alike. When you say Paula or Paul, you know?
So it's Paul Senior, your dad?
No, my dad's Junior.
Oh, your dad is Paul
My grandfather Junior. Was Paul. Then my dad was Junior. My brother's the third.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Paul
mm-hmm.
the third. And then daughter, Paula.
Uh-huh.
Got
exactly.
It. Got it. Got it.
Yeah. So it was kind of funny, though. We'd be like, huh? And she'd be like, I'm calling such and such. Okay.
Paula, I'm curious, thinking about your dad,
mm-hmm.
Do you know, like, how did he come into doing construction and building?
He came from his dad.
Paul Sr.
Uh-huh. He, my dad started doing construction, he said, when he was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. He would go to school and come back and work with his dad, and it was a bunch. Well, if you know about the Ricks, well, you don't know anything about the Ricks, but so many, well, they all dying out now. It was so many of them that did the same thing. I got like 15 cousins right now to do all construction work because it came, they all worked together. And my dad was taught by his dad, and he had a lot of cousins that taught him different things. And then they all worked for the university doing different things. So that's how he got into construction, and he loved it. And he was driving a truck when he was 15 years old, and he taught my brother how to drive when he's about 15, and even brought him a car. It was so funny. So everybody was driving but me, and I decided one day I was going to drive. So I get in the car, and we stand on Merton Mill Road. And I said, it can't be that hard. I'm going to figure this one out. Well, I hit the side of the garage. I left the car running and ran in the house and got into bed.
And what did Paul Jr. have to say about that?
Child, I told him I ain't know who drove that car. He talking about, Paula, Did you drive this car? I said, no. I've been in the bed all day. I tore the side of the car up. The next time I decided to drive, I guess I was 18 years old. I tore the side of the car up and the garage up too. I was like, ooh. I just went in the house and went to bed. Ooh. But yeah, those were good old days. He couldn't say nothing because he didn't know I was driving it. I was in the bed when he came home. I left the car. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it. So, yeah. So, those was the good old days. Missed them so much.
I was just going to ask, remind me your mom's name.
Lily. Lily May.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom, Lily May, she was a Hedden.
Mm-hmm.
So Lily May Hedden.
Uh-huh.
And your dad was Paul Rigsby Jr.
Junior. Uh-huh.
His dad was Paul
Rigsby.
Rigsby.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What do you think, you said he loved construction. What do you think he liked about it?
He just liked building stuff. I mean, he built his own house. He just loved building stuff. I mean, he would just take it and just get, he'll go buy some wood and build whatever he wanted to. They used to have a beautiful dog house when they had a dog, well, they have a dog, Shell and Sharon have a dog now, but back in the day, their dog house would be in my house because he just liked to build. But yeah, he was just really great with his hands.
Do you remember who built the rock house that you grew up in on Merritt Mill Road?
Mm.
Do you remember how your mom and dad came to have that house?
I don't remember who built that house. Yeah. That was so long ago. I mean, I was a baby.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, I have no idea. But it was really a nice house at one point. I mean, I just rode through that the other day. It didn't look that good anymore.
Okay.
But yeah, I have no idea.
The builders of Chapel Hill, rock contractors, wood is so dynamic all throughout Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You said that all of the university where your dad worked, he worked on building lots of, was added to lots of the building there. Do you remember any of the specific areas or the places that on campus that he was responsible for construction of?
I'm trying to think. Let's see. Like I told you, it was, they worked at the water company before Owasa.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get that information from the man who came to check my water because he worked with my dad. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That goes way, way back.
Yeah. Well, the gentleman that you had opportunity to meet again,
right?
That worked with your dad back in the day. We will hold you responsible for getting us
ask
his
him.
Name, so that we might have an opportunity to glean some of the history that he.
Oh, he's got a lot. Yeah. Okay.
Chapel Hill and Paul Rigsby.
Yeah.
And his building add to the history that we're gathering.
Okay.
For your family would be an awesome.
Okay, I'll get that information.
To,
yeah.
What we're doing here today. Is there any other areas or things that you'd like to share with us?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
I have a few questions.
Okay. All right.
I'm thinking about, you said that your dad learned from his dad. Do you remember your grandfather's building work or any, did you ever hear of places where he worked or that he built in the area?
Well, my grandfather died when I was 3. So I don't really remember a whole lot. The only thing I remember is my grandmother. It's history about, you know, different things now. Because he was in the military, too. My grandfather was in the military. So was my dad. And so it goes back to my grandma and my mom told me, plus my dad told me a lot of stuff that he could remember about his dad. But when my grandfather died, I was only 3, so I really don't remember much. I just have a picture, still have it, that my dad took, a black and white picture at his funeral, and I was standing up there holding a flower, a rose up by his casket. That's all I can remember, you know. But I know my family has a lot of history here. There's a lot of Rixby's. And if we go way back and look at all the Rixby's, they all was connected together to some kind of contractors or working for the university. So it's a lot of them. I mean, a lot. I probably right now have 100 cousins or more. And I really can't tell you anything about my grandfather because I don't remember him. Now, my brothers or even my oldest sister Sheila might remember him, but I don't. I was too young. I was way too young. So, yeah. But, you know, I can get more information because, I mean, between my dad and all his cousins and brothers, they all worked for the university doing something. Now, my grandmother, my father's mother.
What was her name?
Jenny.
Jenny
Rixby. But she didn't speak English. Can you believe that?
What language did she speak?
She was an Indian from, she came from India.
Oh, wow.
And my grandfather actually met her when he was in the military.
Oh, okay.
So she always had an issue with speaking. If you said something to her, somebody would have to say something to communicate for her.
A translator.
She didn't speak English. Very little. And then old, I guess, I probably was about maybe 15. And she could speak a little bit because she had been around my dad and everybody so long. But her language was like split. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So she wasn't from this country.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
How old was you? You were 3. When your grandfather died. Do you remember how old your grandfather was? Did your dad tell you how old he was when he died?
No.
Okay.
My grandmother died at 100.
Okay.
She lived to be 100. She died on her birthday.
Okay.
But my grandfather, I would say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in his 70s.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think he was that old.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But yeah, she lived to be 100.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Very, you know, small world. Look at your mom.
Yeah, my mom is presently in 2025. She's 97.
Is she?
Years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And doing, you know, really well.
Well, good. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the legacy of the Hedden and the Rixby's have left a legacy of homeowners.
Exactly.
You mentioned that your sisters and your brother, yourself, you having 2 homes, one
right.
in Georgia, one in here. So what is it about your family that made home ownership so important?
That's kind of hard. I think that would go back to probably my dad. You know, he was always into us having our own house. You know, Now, my brother that, okay, my two brothers, both of them lived in Connecticut for years and years. One moved to Georgia, one moved to Virginia. And he was in my aunt, who's my mom's sister. They was very close, but they all, the whole family always had homes. And I think that just goes back. I mean, it's just like, we felt like we had to have a house. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's something that we just grew up on, having owning a house, you know? Now, my aunt, my mom's sister, who was a doctor, she was a pediatrician in Connecticut. And when she passed away, she left everything to St. Joseph Children's Hospital or something in Connecticut. And so she was always a homeowner. And my aunt that just died, 6 months ago, used to tease me because when she came to Atlanta to see me, she was like, God, you just like your aunt. And I've heard that all my life. My aunt used to go with Slim Nevels.
Okay.
And every time I would see that man, he said, you sure you're not my child? I said, I don't think so. But yeah, so it goes back to that. And you know, she's always want on the house. And everybody think that was her daughter because we got the same taste. So my aunt came to Atlanta and she was like, oh my God, this house reminds me so much of my sister. They used to call her Bert. Her name is Bertha. It reminds me so much of Bertha. Why y'all got all this house? I said, I didn't do this. My husband did. You know, but I don't know. Everybody in my family owned their own house. It's just that way. Even my daughter, you know. And of course, Tyson ain't gonna leave. He think he own this house. You know? So, yep. So that's it.
Did your dad have any advice for you when you bought your first home?
Mm-hmm. He did. Well, not my first home. This will be my first home. He wanted to build me a house. He built my sister's house, like he built his own house. My sister is a year older than I am. He built her house. When I was looking for a house, and I couldn't decide if I was going to stay here or leave North Carolina, so we brought this house over here. And he didn't say anything about this house particularly, but my house in Georgia, Dober and I, my husband, was looking for a house. He said, he told me, do not buy a new house. And I said, why, Dad? He's because they ain't no good. Then he took me through this long list about the walls and this and the foundations. And I mean, I was like, okay, I get it. No new house. He said, because they ain't made out of nothing, Paul. He said, they'll be tore up in about 10 years. You know, and he always told us that, do not buy these new houses, because he knew. I mean, he was building houses. He knew what they was building these apartments and stuff out of. He said, it's not any good. So that was he told me that. So I didn't buy a new house. I mean, we looked at new houses, but everything he had told me, by the time I went through a new house, I'd be like, I see everything he's saying. And I turn away and walk away. Mm-hmm. Yep, that was his thing. Do not buy a new house. He said, you know, houses now are not made like they were years ago. You know? So I didn't buy a new house. You know? Because it was like, mm-mm. And I was just riding in Atlanta before I came up here. And I was thinking about my husband, so I went over to the neighborhood where we was going to buy a new house. That house looked like I don't know what. It was a mess, you know? The garage, I mean, it was just like one-sided. But Atlanta gets so hot. We either too hot or too much rain. And, I don't know. I was just like, I'm glad I didn't buy that house, you know? So that's it.
Yeah.
Um,
I did. I had to ask because you brought the Jackson Center and the community a gift, two gifts to put inside the house that we're converting right now.
Right.
So historically known as the cab stand on 500 West Rosemary, Miss Sarah Carter's airport and in-town taxi. But you provided two gifts to the neighborhood for that home, one of which is one of your husband's poems.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just wondering if you wanted to share like how you might describe your husband and the poem that he wrote.
Okay. My husband was a English major, mm-hmm. and he was a writer. He loved to write. He went to school in Atlanta to be for communications. And that's kind of when he really, really started writing. Because he was working with Peabo Bison. That was his buddy, who was a singer. Peabo? Oh, you don't know. Okay, you know. And so they worked real close together. So he did a lot of writing, and they did a lot of music together. Like they would go to games and stuff or to his house and sit around and write. So he was a good man. He was really good, but he was a Gemini. So he had two names. One was Larry, one was Lawrence. Now we couldn't stand Lawrence. We loved Larry. But my kids would be like, oh, Mama, Lawrence out today. And we all take off running. But other than that, he was a great husband, great provider. He took care of them. Tyson can tell you. Tyson told me the other night, God, I miss my granddad so much. And Trevor, the one that lives in Atlanta, he won't even come to my house. Because I have my husband ashes on the fireplace and his picture behind it. Mm-hmm. Every time he come there, he just cry. He said, Grandma, so hard for me come in the door. He'll sit on the deck before he'll come in the house. So Dobe and I, my husband, took my grandson to college, the oldest one, his first year of college. His mom was in Mexico on vacation, so we dropped him off at school. And I didn't take stuff in, but they took everything in and set him up in his dorm room. And the last thing his granddad said to him was, I'll be back to see you next week. And he didn't make it. That was the hardest thing forever, to go pick him up and tell him his granddad was dead. He had a total fit. He cried from Georgia to North Carolina. He was so sad. It was so pitiful. And so when we got here, and I asked him, I said, I asked them all, do y'all want to open him up? Because, I mean, he wasn't sick. He just had a massive heart attack. And they was like, Trevor was like, I can't take it. I really can't take it. I can't sit there for 30 minutes and look at my granddad in that casket. I said, okay, that's fine. That's good. Well, we won't open it all. Then I heard all these comments from people talking about, well, why didn't she open him up? That was my kids. That was my grandkids' request. They didn't want him open.
Yeah.
You know, I told anybody who wanted to see him that night before. But whoever showed up and saw him, they saw he looked the same. But that really, you know, but he was a good man. He loved them boys. I mean, he took them to their football, baseball. Trevin Asher, my oldest grandson, he ran track for Georgia and won every single time, the state. And then decided out once he gonna quit. I don't want to do that, Grandma. I said, boy, go on and get you can get a scholarship. You can go whatever. I mean, he can run now. I mean, he'd be like this. And that's because his granddad used to work with him. He would go and practice with him and say, okay, let me time you. And he'd go around there. And I think the whole problem was he likes to eat. And because he can't eat everything when you run a track. So we had him on oranges, pasta. And he told me one day, I'm tired of eating damn pasta. You know? But that's part of the training. And I think that's why he probably stopped running, because he couldn't eat everything. And we had to limit his meat and stuff, you know, because then he's, you know, the orange is supposed to keep you from getting cramps and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just, so it was just like, but yeah, that was it. But my husband loved them boys to the end. And he'd take them anywhere they want to. And it used to be funny because he would pick them up in the afternoon from school. If I was working late or my daughter was working late, being in Atlanta, we usually always an hour away from home. And he would get home before we would. And he would go pick them up. And why they got five other little boys need a ride home? He was like, I'm so tired of riding these kids up and down the road. I ain't got but two grandkids. Why I got six in here? And it wasn't so much Tyson, it was Trevin. Now, if you meet Trevin, he's got a great personality. He loves everybody. But he got 100 friends. And every time he goes somewhere, he wants to take his friends. And my Larry be like, you know what? That's getting too expensive. You need to leave them at home. I'll take you and your brother. And Tyson told the opposite. Tyson is he's not a people person. He'll talk to you all day, but then when he leave, he gone, you know. But Trevin, and then we was just talking the other day, and he called me. He said, Grandma, when you come back to Georgia? I said, why? He told me, I need a babysitter. Oh. I said, you don't keep no babies. You got the wrong one. He told me, if I drop them off for a few hours. I said, no, sir. Mm-mm. Your little babies be on the porch. And I'll be in the house. You know?
Ms. Paul, I wanted to also ask you about the second gift that you gave the community of being able to make a copy of it was a program.
Uh-huh.
It was a program commemorating the importance of another kind of member of your family who's of Britain.
Right.
Well, right?
My brother-in-law, James Britton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you want to share kind of like, so that was specifically commemorating his work in the civil rights, the local civil rights movement. And
exactly.
Desegregating Chapel Hill.
Right.
What do you remember of him in his work in that time?
Well, actually, we started together working in the community. And I left and he became the president. I was the president first because I started the whole organization.
Oh,
then
organization?
NAACP. And I turned it over to him because I was leaving the state. And so he kept it up. And of course, he was with the Black Panthers. If you go to D.C., to the Black Museum, a lot of people posted up there. Clementine Seff, she's up there. Carolyn Bridge is up there. God, so many people. So that's kind of the way, you know, we started doing that. But my brother-in-law was very, what's a good word? He would put you in your place real quick. And so he did a lot with the university because at that time when we first started doing it, helping the university, it was a lot of people that was maids and stuff for the university that the supervisor was raping them and taking their money and stuff. And so we ended up getting a lawsuit, and one of the lawyer that's on there, on the piece of the thing I gave you, he's the one that helped us. Mm-hmm.
Is that Al McTrudy?
He was with us too. He was with us too. Uh-huh. And that's how it got started. So finally those people got paid. And it was a mess. And so he was really, really involved in the neighborhood. He worked for JACA, helping people get you know, stuff done to their houses. And who else did he work for?
Joint Orange Association. They were an organization prior to retirement, but basically looking out for residents of
Orange County. So, yeah, he did a lot. Let's see, I'm trying to think what else. Well, he was ex-military. He did a lot.
It sounds like you were kind of implying that y'all both kind of worked together initially. And so, I'm curious, like, what inspired you to take that on? Like, what made you want to do that work?
Because I didn't have, we didn't have one here in Chapel Hill. And, I mean, at that time, jobs was kind of crazy. And so I was working at Research Triangle Park. I had some issues with the government. And that's when we figured out that we didn't have a location. The closest location was Raleigh. And then Raleigh was like, well, y'all live in Chapel Hill. So that's when we started. That's when we started putting it together and making our own chapel, because we had to. And which I don't even understand in Georgia is the same way. Every county got their own, which is crazy. I don't understand why it's just not one NAACP. But, you know, it's different counties. So that's how.
So what advice would you give to people who are looking to kind of start their own work to create more equity for, like, Black, Indigenous, people of color in this area?
Let me think. To start their own work in this area?
Yeah.
What do you mean, self-employed?
People who want to get involved in that kind of effort.
You know what? I don't even know what to tell you.
As someone who's been there before, what kind of advice do you have? Like, not someone who, not like what group or anything like that, but just like having created a group, been part of creating the NAACP, been part of seeing other people lead in civil rights work. Like, do you have any advice for the next generation?
I say start with, Rainbow Coalition is a good group too. I don't know.
You said you have a grandson that's here. If he encountered any resistance or any situation that may be uncomfortable for him, he gave you a call and says, "Grandmother, I have this situation, and I'm not sure how I'm going to handle it. What would you advise him to do?"
Call your mama.
Okay.
Call your mama. She's in L.A. Call her. Because the first thing she's going to do is call a lawyer.
But he knows that Granny has been boots on the ground here in Chapel Hill to make sure that her voice was heard. And he's now trying to jockey to make sure his voice gets heard.
What? Okay.
So before he gets to Mom, he wants to know what Granny would want
him
to do.
He don't want Granny, because I'll be cutting up.
Yeah, he wants Granny. He wants to know from Granny what she would do.
I get in my car and drive 7 hours in North Carolina and say, "What is?"
Yeah.
What's,
so you would be present for him.
Exactly.
You would be present for him to make sure
that he's okay.
That he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
By, and knowing your brother-in-law.
Exactly.
By any means necessary.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's right. So, are we through?
Is there anything else that you want?
Not really. Uh-uh.
Yeah, and we can always do this another time.
So okay.
Get it all done in one go.
My daughter's going to send you some information about the neighborhood. I told her to write something up and send it to you. So, she says she will do it.
Okay.